So, yes, our love is predicated on ignoring each other is what we've decided today.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Sure. Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle
God
up for the
damn
sex.
Damn it, I was
it's
wondering
the
when
Nothing
that was
podcast
coming.
With your hosts, Salsa.
And Jenna.
And special guest,
Rachel.
Yay! Woo-hoo! Yeah, we do not have a James tonight. Screw that guy.
He's doing other stuff.
He has responsibilities or some bullshit. Fuck that.
I know, right?
I'm being irresponsible.
Yay!
Yay! Irresponsible. You're going to fit right in.
Hooray!
Yeah, so, Rachel is, for keen-eared listeners, my sister-in-law.
Oh, the secret's out.
I know, right? And...
I may look suspiciously like someone he's married to.
Little bit.
What? TNA sharing, what? Yeah.
And also portrays the queen at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, which we are probably going to talk about later, I'm sure. But first, we need to...
In some way, shape, or form.
Yes, but first, we need to find out what is in this glass in front of me.
So I have been kind enough to bring a bottle of Tokai... from a trip I took about 5 years ago to Budapest. So Tokai is a sweet dessert wine that is native to Hungary. And it is obscenely expensive here in the States. I think a bottle, when I went to look to see how much it was about $50.
Oh.
For a bottle. The bottles that I got at the grocery store to bring home were... around $5.
Nice.
I got three different like price levels.
Tiers.
And
yeah.
I think the cheapest one was $5, and I think the most expensive one was $15. Like,
oh my god!
It was good Tokai.
Mm-hmm.
So Tokai is spelled Tokaji because Hungarians are dicks.
Yes, this is an accurate statement.
When I was in Hungary, all of the Everyone I ran into spoke enough English that we could get by because I tried to learn some Hungarian. The only thing I learned, and we should use this to taste this, is the Hungarian version of cheers is Egészségedre.
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 Egészségedre. Close enough.
Right. Good. Close.
Ooh, good smell.
Oh. Yeah, no, the apple is definitely there. Mm-hmm. That is, it does say, hello, I am apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very fruity. There's another drink in Hungary called, is it Polenka? Something like that.
Mm. I think I've heard of that one, actually.
I had quite a bit of that, too. But that's, it's one of the rural drinks that basically every household made with whatever fruit they had available that spring. And damn, it can be real strong and it kicks you in the teeth.
Is it like WAP?
No, it's a fruit liqueur, basically.
Mm. Okay.
I think plums are a pretty standard tradition one, but it's okay. It can be
more
made
like
with a lot
like
of
a brandy.
Yeah, except it's clear.
Mm.
Realization struck.
I might not know a lot about booze, but if it's clear, I'm like, all right, you're boozy.
Mm. Yeah, it's boozy, and but it's something that like Hungarian grandmas drink.
Awesome.
I want to be a Hungarian grandma when I grow up.
Mm.
It's good to have goals.
Yeah.
I mean,
right now I'm good at relative auntie status. Wow, talking has suddenly become hard. What's in this wine?
What proof is it? That's a good question.
Right? I'm like...
It's Edish, which is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would like Salsa to try and pronounce this second word on this bottle.
Okay.
It is 12% alcohol by volume.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I don't think the wine has affected me yet.
No.
But...
So it's not... It's middling wine. Yeah. It's sweeter wines tend to be less.
Borgulong legeseg.
Okay. Gesundheit.
There's a lot of umlauts on that word.
I don't know what to do with umlauts. Like, I know they exist.
It's
Yeah.
You have to do weird things with your tongue in your mouth. Yeah, because here, look. This is.
I cannot do French at all, but Germanic languages I've got down.
Hungarian's
French
not Germanic. Hungarian is,
it's a Slavic base.
No. Hungary and Finnish are in their own language group together, not because they are in any way related, but is because they don't have any relations to any other language.
Oh.
Which is why, again, when I was in Hungary, island. I was so happy that everyone else spoke English. Yeah. They were very kind about it because as several people I was with in school were saying, yeah, no, thank God I was born in Hungary because otherwise I would never have learned Hungarian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a tricksy language to learn. And it's where I figured out that I don't have an ear at all for languages because I was walking down the street with a lovely lady who was trying to teach me. We went to a farmer's market and she was trying to teach me words, you know, for the fruits and things. And I swear she would say something and I was like, oh yeah, I said it's right back. She's like, no, this. And I was like, isn't that what I just said?
I do the same thing. I'm like, very bad at spoken language.
Like, ah, gotcha. Well, this explains some things.
Well, thank you for that. It is great, and we'll continue drinking it.
It is quite tasty.
Yes.
Jenna, what you been up to?
Yeah, I did this thing, you may have heard of it, over the weekend. It's called the Renaissance Festival.
Never heard of it.
Oh. Well, it's a Klingon thing.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
In jokes. So, I had a weekend. Here's the thing. Like, my entire season has been just a little off.
I thought you were going to say my entire season has just been a weekend.
It's been the same weekend over and over. Oh, my God.
The worst Groundhog's Day ever.
No, and like...
Or best.
There are certain things... I've been in kind of a cranky state this season because certain things that... I used to have available to me aren't this season. Responsibilities increased in certain other areas. And I've been a little, and my back has been just awful all season.
So it's just different and you feel discombobulated?
It's a discombobulated and I'm a little grumpy about, I don't feel like I have any me time this year.
Gotcha.
Like, I basically work from Friday at 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the very least on call.
Yeah.
From Friday at 6.
Gotcha.
If not having to go into the office, helping to cover extra shifts at the fencing booth because COVID is still a thing, kids.
Oh.
Or just we suddenly got slammed with everybody in the state of Minnesota deciding this is the day they're going to show up to the Renaissance Festival. Saturday, I think, was our record at the fencing booth for this season.
It was insane.
Mm-hmm. I've just been a little cranky all fucking season because I feel like all I'm doing is working and not getting any me time, right? And this weekend, I hit a level of fuck it. I hit my zen. And I could actualize that, yes, I was still cranky and a little anxious about all of these other things, but fuck it.
Yep.
I think in therapy they call it radical acceptance. this is what it is, kind of a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of hit that, and I'm like, well, it is what it is.
I think you've just expressed what Six Weekend is to everyone out at Fest.
I mean, usually I hit this acceptance. Earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, just radical acceptance.
Isn't that one
fuck
step
it and roll with it?
Just go. Just
I think
go
that's one
it.
Step closer to Zen, too. Like Buddhism, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the thing. Okay, let's go into this for just a second.
Uh-oh, so, what did I do?
I've been through a lot of therapy because I've had a weird ass fucking life. That's just the easiest way to describe it. And there are different types of therapy. There's like cognitive behavioral therapy. There's EMDR type therapies. There's different ways of trying to help a brain adjust to how to be able to function within our society.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even one step further back, do you know what crazy is? Do you know when they decide that you're not psychologically sane or falling within parameters?
I'm sure at some point I heard the definition.
It's based on the culture that you are in at any given point in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what might be crazy to us is absolutely not crazy to another culture.
Sure.
Right. So psychology is just the study of what is outside of general societal expectations to a specific culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, we use psychology, but it's the same concept in other places, right? You're acting weird. You're crazy. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Something is going on in that brain of yours.
Yeah. And sometimes it's something more universal. Sometimes it is something specific to the culture. So there are as many forms of therapy out there as there are they're all ways of trying to address different things that aren't necessarily fitting into a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And because brains think in different ways to, like, the specific individual, different types of brain thinking processes will better respond to different types of therapies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cool. All on the same page. So I have a background. I went through a bunch of dialectic behavioral therapy, DBT. It was based off of cognitive behavioral therapy. The main difference is, in cognitive behavioral therapy, it is a very black and white kind of judgy therapy. And that does not work for everybody, and very specifically does not work well for PTSD people who had abusive parents who were very black and white thinkers that were very judgy. It doesn't work well. So I went through DBT, and it's a compilation of group and individual therapies. But the basic concept behind DBT is what is the response to this specific situation that is going to get you the best outcome to achieve your goals? Great. Fantastic. And one of the things that they teach along the way, one of the main thing, through threads, that's the word I'm looking for, in DBT is something that they call radical acceptance, which is there are things you can control. There are things you cannot control. Acceptance is just what is happening in this moment, not what do you think should be happening in this moment. What would you like to have happen in them? Just what exists in the now?
Very stark, very...
Yeah. Very improv, actually.
Objective.
And in fact, in DBT, I got to play improv games, and I'm like, ha! I know this one.
I got this. Give me an occupation and a vocation.
Six levels of classes, bitches. Let's do this. But yeah, like, we did the numbers one. For instance, where everybody has to close their eyes and one person says one and then another person says two. And, like, you don't go around the room. No, you just let it free flow. But if two people say the same number at the same time, you have to start back at one. And your goal is to get to 20. And just as aware of just kind of free flow acceptance type situation, right? Where was I going with this? Shit. Radical acceptance.
Yes.
So radical acceptance is very much so the idea of, well, it is what it is.
Yep.
This is just where we're at. You can't move forward until you accept where you are, is the basis of that. So anyway, I've hit my radical acceptance.
May you find your peace in that valley.
I have made the decisions that will ultimately benefit me in the future, but this is where we are at now. So... So this weekend was still kind of shitty. There were a lot of things I was unhappy about, and I'll get into a little bit of that, but I was weirdly positive about everything.
Just kind of a little happy bubble inside of the shit around it.
I don't know that I'm going to go with happy, but positive.
I'm picturing the cartoon in my head where the person is just strolling down the street, Mr. Magooing his way through a bunch of shit.
Kind of. So Saturday morning at the booth, I show up to the fencing booth and I go to help get ready for the day. And I'm getting dressed in the back and somebody goes, oh, look, a mouse.
Oh no.
Now, this individual did not know that I had a mouse phobia. But my brain went, I'm supposed to look, before I realized what it was I was supposed to look. And I saw it.
Oh, no.
And I screamed a blood-curdling scream and just started crying and hyperventilating for a good few minutes.
That's no bueno.
Well, the boothies that knew were like, oh, God, oh, God. And the boothies that did not know were like, what the fuck?
I think it would be pretty obvious, right? Frankly.
Various people tried to help, but the problem is when you're in that heightened state, you can't.
It's not a help, yeah.
It's just not. And somebody asked the very specific question, what can I do right now? And I said, stand right there while I finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I did deep breathing exercises, because that's all you've got at that point, are the tools in your toolkit. So I did my deep breathing exercises. They tried to help. I was like, please don't. Like, they started breathing with me, which is very wonderful and supportive. And I love the intent behind it. I need to process. And I know you want to help, and I get it. Please don't. Then I managed to walk past where I had seen the mouse, because that was the only way out of the back room. And I get to the front, and people are like, what can I do? I'm like, don't talk about anything other than the existence of what the fuck just happened back there, is really what it is. In therapy, we call it the distract technique.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah. What a dragon.
Oh, look, a small child with a bunch of balloons on their head.
Oh, okay, that one's good. You win. we did that for a bit, and then I started bringing up mouse stuff. That's like, okay, now I need to address this.
I'm ready to work through this.
Yeah, we can all work together to whatever. But I have to bring myself down.
Sure.
Yeah. One thing that the Fitbit has been great for is, where is my heart rate right now? I managed to hit 15 heart points during that time period.
Oh, well.
Which is like my daily goal. So,
there's that.
It's quite the spike.
How many steps a day do you get on that thing? Out at Fest?
Out at Fest, not as much as you'd think, because I'm working cash box a lot of the time. Because of my fucked up back right now. So, not as many as, like, years past, I've gotten, like, roughly 15 to 17,000 a day.
I've never done a Fitbit while I've been, like, on court. But we walk a lot, and I'm always curious, because I think some of the court members do, and they talk about, like, 26,000 steps in a day.
I believe it, because y'all are just constantly on the move.
The king and I are like sharks, and we tend to fall over if we stop moving.
I want the Jaws theme to play behind you as you start walking up to people now.
See, whereas I heard the king and I immediately went to Yul Brynner. So.
Oh, sure. No, that's fair. And then I was like, okay. And one of the boothies was like, okay, what can I do now? I was like, I don't want to go back there right now. Can you bring out all of my cash box stuff, all of the things that I need to do my job over there, away from where all of that happened, kind of a thing. But I was still even going through all of that, a legitimate panic attack from a phobia. I was so optimistic about everything.
You know, if that's the worst thing that happens to you that day, you managed to get through it, and it's shitty, but is it going to get shittier? I don't want to say that.
Yeah, don't say that. Like, my evening was a little discombobulated, too, but whatever. I got to wear a giant red panda onesie, so, you know, there are bonuses.
Strikes and gutters, as you say. Radical acceptance.
Radical acceptance. I mean, should my world have been better? Sure, why not? But that's not what it was, so...
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning I got to have a lovely conversation with a bigot, so that was great. So Sunday morning, I'm just going to consolidate this as to where I had a conversation with somebody about why it's important to hire women and people of color and people in minority groups into higher level positions. You should just hire the right person for the job. Oh my God. Okay. So that was 20 minutes of unpacking and being like, okay, what makes you think this person isn't the right person for the job?
Mm-hmm.
You think they got hired just because of that? This is not how things work.
Also,
anyway,
your mindset of what the right person for the job is may not be the best mindset that allows for someone else to come into that.
If in your brain, the right person for the job is by default a cishet white dude, you're not, you're already cutting people out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Like,
even subconsciously.
So that was, so I started my day with that conversation. Then somebody was like, can I get you like a crepe? And I was like, that would be great. And
was it full of dairy?
They reviewed all of the ingredients with me. You already see where this is going.
It was full of dairy.
Yeah.
And they reviewed the ingredients with me.
Did they also put mango in it somehow?
It's just coconuts on top.
No, I can have it. Mango.
Mango's the one I can have.
That's right. That's
right. Just coconuts on top. A whole
peanuts,
coconut.
Bananas, some pineapple just for shits and giggles. Right.
The tropical sundae.
But they reviewed all of the ingredients with me, and it's mushroom, spinach, bacon, and egg.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love me one of them in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back, and they're like, I've got your crepe, and I look at it. And James is right next to me, and he looks at it, and he's like, oh, no. Because there is cheese sprinkled on the top of it.
Yep.
And I look at the wonderful human being that just got me a crepe out of the goodness of their heart, and I was like, I can't eat this. And so Josh took it. And I was like, God damn, this morning there was cheese on my crepe. There was cheese on my early morning conversations. I just fucked this morning. but otherwise, like, crowds were impressive on Saturday.
Ridiculous.
There was a lot of humanity.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A sea of people.
And so for my Saturday, like, I work the morning shift. I work until just shy of 2, because 2 o'clock I'm down in the campground. And they were like, one of the people in charge, the staff people, was like, can you come back at 3:30? And I was like, no, because I work in the campground from 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And from 3 to 4 is when I get to do something like eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hour, and I am protecting that hour. And they were like, oh, I didn't understand. Yeah, no, you should protect that hour. I'm like, yes, I'm going to.
Good.
But I will be here at 4 to help break. But I have to be gone at a specific time because I'm meeting up with friends. And they're like, okay, awesome. So I showed up. 2 other people that had the afternoon off out also showed up at the exact same time. We got through breaks like you wouldn't believe. Like, breaks have never been gotten through before. And I managed to get up to the front gate ticket booth because my friends Robin and Claire were working at the ticket booth.
Yep.
And the plan was that we were all going to walk around together with some other friends. Side note, during my 3 to 4 break, I got some food eventually.
The lines were ridiculous.
The lines were ridiculous. And I'm eating the food and I'm sitting at Max Pub. And like, so Max Pub has like windows. Like, because I was sitting next to where the beer, like in line of sight of the band, like on the side kind of area. In case I needed to dip out, I didn't want to like walk over everybody.
Sure.
And like, I see through like the little door window thing first. I see a guy, and I'm like, I think I know that guy. And so I'm looking through the window again, and, like, he's far away.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he looks familiar, and, like, the gait seems familiar and everything else.
The stride and the silhouette,
I don't know if I should name names for this one. But, anyway, so, like, I see this individual, and, like, I see him off in the distance, and his wife and his 2 children. And I'm like... And so this friend of mine is Korean, and I'm seeing, like, in the distance, I'm like, I think that's him. And like, so like, I see them far off in the distance. I'm like, okay, I'm pretty, there's all 4 of them. I think that's them. So I get up and I run over and I'm like, Hey. And the guy turns around and he's like, hey, Jenna. And I'm like, oh, good. I wasn't sure if it was you or if I was just racist. And he said, yeah, probably both. and gave me a big hug. So I'm like...
So we ran into them at the very end of the day.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yes. And all of them.
All of them.
Including Claire and Robin, mm-hmm. and then...
Yeah, I do have more story to this.
Okay, so you should say it. Sorry.
Yeah. This will actually tie in nicely. All right, perfect. So let me, and it is much more story, but let me go on with the story. So I go to ticket booth and I'm told that these friends of ours are also going to meet up with us, right? So I'm like, great. And then like the family of friends is not there and Robin and Claire are still in the back working. I'm like 5 minutes early, so no big deal. Whatever. And then the person that's in charge of special events walks up to Will Call and leaves, and drops something off at Will Call. And I'm like, well, this bears further investigation. And I see Robin's head there and I go up and I'm like, so what's the deal? And Robin's like, hi, there's a 6 o'clock wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be here. You should take Claire and just go.
Yeah, I think it was Saturday morning. My wife sent me to Will Call with some extra tickets that she had because she was setting up and doing sound check.
Right.
And I walk up to Will Call and Robin was chatting with somebody and the person left. And I walked up and I was like, here's the tickets. Put them in this envelope. And she's like, cool. I just got told there's 2 weddings today. Yay.
That didn't include the 6 o'clock.
No.
Nope. It did not.
Nope. This was in the morning. This was, she was just like, I get to deal with this now.
Right.
Yay.
So I collect Claire and now begins the adventures of Jenna and Claire.
Oh God.
We decide we're going to try to meet up with our family of friends. Right. But because everybody on the face of the planet is out at the Renaissance Festival,
mm-hmm.
cell phones aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're delayed, at best. Neither Claire or I could get any kind of signal out to anybody for anything. So we're just praying and hoping for, like, messages in a bottle chucked at us or carrier pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
So we come in through the front gate. Claire's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want a glass of mead. She's like, you want to stand in a line? I'm like, shut your mouth. I want a glass of mead. So we're coming from front gate to the mead tent, which is where my favorite mead people work.
Mm-hmm.
And we happened by this show. There was someone very regal involved. There was some fighting involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad, like,
you caught that show. That was a good show that day.
We didn't catch the entire show. We walked by and I was like, oh, look, there's the queen out in the fighting area for this particular show. We should watch this. Claire's like, what's going on? And I'm like, let me explain to you about the Queen's Gambit. Do you want to talk about the Queen's Gambit right now before I continue everything? Because I got a lot of story left to go.
I'm shocked.
It doesn't have to be me talking the entire time. But
So the Queen's Gambit is a real chess match. I think it's from like 1870-something that was written down.
Okay.
I don't honestly know if it actually uses the Queen's Gambit move.
Okay.
Because I absolutely, like, I call out. So it's me, the Queen, has challenged the Jarl of the Vikings, the leader of the Vikings, Asa, to a game of chess.
Yeah.
And so, and the whole concept is that this is human combat chess. And so when the pieces come together to fight, then actual human fighters go and do some stage combat.
Right.
And so FUD opted for a real chess game so that we didn't, because we knew this act literally happened the very first day that we played it. Someone came up and like checked our work.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. So that's why he opted for an actual chess match.
I have a side story for you on something like that, but like offline. So don't let me forget.
Fair enough. But it's, so it's a lot of fun. It's, we've got some peasants and then some Vikings, and mm-hmm. Every fight is always, honestly, it's really fun. It's always it's a femme presenting peasant
mm-hmm.
versus a masculine presenting Viking. That's just how it worked.
That's just how it worked. You got a lot of masculine looking Viking dudes.
There are.
Kicking around.
Right? Except for the last fight. which starts out with so I'm my chess piece is the white. I'm the white side, and I'm playing the white queen.
Nice.
And the Jarl is playing the black side, and she's the black knight. Okay. And the second to last move is a fight between the black knight and the white queen.
Nice.
And I get up there, and we do. I throw six. Various punches, swords, moves,
attacks
At Asa, and then I tag in one of my guardsmen to actually do like a decent fight, because we didn't have a lot of time to work up. But
that's fair.
And I don't do stage combat, so
right. Although you do play it up very well, to like, hey, I don't think this is what you were looking for in a fight. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to make this a bit more interesting for you, kind of a thing?
Yeah, the line is, are you having any fun, Asa?
There you go.
Like,
yep.
No, I'm not. I was like, would you like to have some fun? Here, have my guardsmen to chew on.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it works out great. And so it's a fun show. I think there's a lot of really good fighting, especially, we've had our trials and tribulations, as it were, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Claire and I happen upon this, and there's the queen holding a sword, and Claire's like, what? And I'm like, yep. And, you know, so we watch, and there's
a little Asa's bit more. Maybe I steal Asa's sword in the middle of it. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So we watch a little bit more, and then once things start wrapping up a bit, we go, because I still need my mead, goddammit. And I know there's a line. So I stand in my line.
Oh my
God,
the lines.
So Claire and I get mead. She checks her phone for messages. Nothing happening. And she's like, I want to go to this one shop. So we go to that one shop. It's over by Legend. We look at some stuff. It's pretty fun stuff. She was correct. It was a fun place to look at. I don't remember the name of the shop. But
is it the jewelry shop?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is it a little dragon shop?
No.
Okay.
No, it was like statues and plaster things.
Yep. I know which one that is.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't remember the name either.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
but they have some very pretty nudes.
Yeah, they have some fun stuff in there. We had fun. There's so there are seven plasters as the seven sins.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And we decided you needed a frame to just buy all seven and have like a mood chart. This is my mood for the day, kind of a thing. The guy behind the counter loved it.
Nice.
And then finally, Claire gets a message.
Dun dun dun.
We are watching the Fondazzi show. And we're like, it is 5:40. So we book it over to Sherwood.
5:40, that show's done.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe we can catch them. And there's audience coming up over the hill, because we're going past Real Booth, right? Audience coming up over the hill, and we get down to Sherwood, and all we see is Salsa standing on a bench, talking to someone, and yelling at Lilibeth. So, we're like, well...
Sounds about right.
They're not here. And, we're like, what do we do now? And I'm like, well, let's go in the other direction. Because if we didn't meet them coming up over the hill, they must have gone that way. It's true. Like, there's only two directions you can go from that point. So we start walking in that way. And then Claire gets another message. That is, we're at the Privies across from the Stucks. And we're like, so we book it over there. And there's nobody there. And so Claire goes into the Privy area. And there's a line, because there's a line for everything.
Yeah.
And Claire's walking past these people going into the Privies as I'm outside in case, like, I can just see them anywhere, yep. Right? She's like, I don't have to pee. I'm just looking for someone. I swear to God, I'm not cutting in line. Like, as she's moving past everybody, which was great.
I can see Claire doing this.
Claire will shout anything at the top of her lungs.
She got problems.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Love it.
It's very convenient.
And she comes back out, and she's like, well, they're not in there. I was like, yeah, all right. I think at one point I just heard her shouting names from like inside the privy area. But yeah, they weren't there. So I was like, well, I want to go to Lady of the Lake Silks because I want to, you know, do some shopping there. I've got a few things I was looking at for gifts. And we get there and Claire falls in love with a silk immediately. It matches her shirt. It is long and big and she just floofs it all over the place.
Nice.
And then I do a little bit more deliberating, get what I was looking for, make our purchases. And then she gets another text. We are at the Soapy Toad.
That's a new shop.
It is a new shop. I have no idea where the fuck this is. I've never heard about it.
It's an ups and downs, a couple ones down from McGregor Games.
Is it a soap shop, I assume?
It is. And they, in fact, have little soapy toads.
Cute.
Yeah. We'd never heard of this. So I'm like, well, we're at Lady of the Lake Silks. Let's go to Info Booth. and along the way, there's the concierge.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, the concierge will know. And so I was like, hey, concierge, where's the soapy toad? And he's like, I don't know. And Claire says something like, you're useless to me. And I say, what kind of concierge are you? And Claire keeps going over to Info Booth while I have a conversation with the concierge for a minute, just so that, you know, I don't feel too bad about it. But
I mean, it's okay to let
we're
him feel
in
bad about
bit
it.
Mode oh, yeah. At this point. Like, we are just patrons fucking up everybody's day right now is really what's happened. So then she gets the info from Info Booth. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. She's like, apparently it's in 600s. I'm like, I don't know
what the numbers mean either.
I know where 600s is. 600s is the road.
It's inner, like, 600, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it because of inner 600.
Yeah. But it's the side with yep. Bad Manor and McGregor all the way down to Boswench. Yep. That's all 600s. I know that. I've actually, since becoming a Boothie, I've had to actually get better at numbers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't even realize we had addresses until a year ago.
Yeah, no, the only reason I know 600 is because it's always referred to as inner 600.
Inner 600, yeah.
But any of the other ones, is like, yeah, they're in the 200 area. I don't know what that means.
Sure. So we start booking along the 600s, and we don't look at the food court, because obviously none of that is the Soapy Toad. We get all the way to Boss Wench, and we have not seen the Soapy Toad.
Oh, no.
Because it's a new shop, and they don't have a very big sign.
Nope.
And they're very kind of tucked back in there.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find them. We walked right past it.
Oh, no.
And we get to Boss Wench, and Claire's like, I need to pee. I'm like, Seagate.
Yep.
So she goes to Seagate. I stand outside just continually looking to see if I can see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I managed to find these people once on accident. I should be able to find them again, right?
No.
Yeah. So then she comes back out. She's like, wine. I'm like, cool. So she gets wine. And we're like, what? Where do we go now? We don't have any further messages. We got nothing. Mead Cottage. Fuck it. Let's go.
Mermaid.
Eventually people will show up there because the boys are playing, except the boys weren't playing because they had something else they were doing.
I believe
that night.
The Irish feast was that night.
The wake, yeah.
Right. But we just decided that's where we were going to be, and eventually people would pass by us and we'd find our people.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lovely gossip session. We're sitting like kind of on the outskirts of the show that's happening there, facing outward. I was like, what's Mark gonna do? Kick us out? Whatever. But we were, so we could see the mead line from where we were at, and we got some more mead too, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're there, what's a day off? Well,
and honestly, at this point, it's like 6 o'clock. Like, we've been booking it pretty hard, pretty consistently at this point. It's like 6:10, and so we look over at the line, and there is a guy. In a kilt, with a matching hat, and he is smirking at me. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, you know, I don't make direct eye contact, and I'm not trying to be, like, coy or anything. I'm just like, I don't want to lead a dude on, but that's very nice and flattering, and he is very pretty. So, and Claire's like, hey, Jen, he's looking at you. I'm like, I noticed. And then, like, a little while, like, you know, another minute, and he does the same thing, and he's got this smirk. Oh, oh my God. It's like the crooked smile smirk. Just,
Need me to top you off there, Jenna?
No, I'm good right now.
Oh, okay.
I'll have some more in a minute.
All right.
Let me just,
relive the moment.
Yeah. So he does it again. Claire's like, he's still smirking at you. I'm like, I noticed. And he's like, he keeps moving up in line, and then, like, he does it again. And Claire gets very loud. He's like, hey, he's smirking at you. Like, I noticed!
I love Claire.
I love Claire, too. She's great. But the other thing is, as we were doing, and he never came up to me.
Of course not.
Which, I mean, the thing is, like, I'm happily in a monogamous relationship. I can appreciate the fuck out of what just happened there. And, thank you. But yeah, like, it was just like, at least try. No, that's fine. Whatever. Yeah. We're all good here. An exchange has been made. We're all pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you got the pleasure you were going to get out of that interaction.
Basically, yeah.
Yep.
So Claire and I had this long, just like, journey together, this adventure, and we're talking about it as we're sitting there. I'm like, Claire, what if our group of friends has been 50 feet behind us this entire time? Just fucking with us with delayed messages. And Claire's like, that sounds like something I would do. I'm like, that does sound like something. It's probably not what they're doing. It does sound like something you would do. But yeah. And then at 6:20, they all show up.
Ta-da!
All of these friends that we were supposed to be walking around with for the past hour and change. And so we got to hang out. We chatted, whatever. And then I had to go because I had to go help close down the fencing booth. I was like, well, my time's up. Good to see you all. Just do this again sometime. So yeah, that was Adventures with Claire. And yeah, then the only other real big thing. So Sunday was dusty as fuck. But I got my romance horse hit, and they fucking nailed it. I've been looking everywhere for the Cutwater Lime Mint Mojitos, and they have been sold out everywhere. And so towards the end of my fencing booth shift, I got a delivery of Cutwater Lime Mint Mojitos, which almost made me cry. And then 5 minutes later, Seamus the Insulter.
Nice.
Oh, God.
Nice, nice, nice.
Whew. Buddy, yes.
What that man can do with words.
Oh, yeah. I know, right? And so he went, and I maintained eye contact because I will not be deterred. Oh, that just made it all the hotter. If you can, I know he has an intense gaze, which makes it all the better. But if you can, if he is complimenting you, you maintain that look. And then I went home with dust in my eyes, the end.
Yeah.
That was my weekend.
Yeah. All anything was dust in the wind on Sunday.
Yes.
My God.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk a lot less about my weekend because we still need to talk to our guests.
Yeah, I didn't get to talk last weekend.
No,
much,
it's fine.
So
yeah.
I took this one.
No, that's okay. I don't actually have much to say, but I do have a thing to relate, and that is Sunday sucked. It was so windy, and I don't know if y'all know this, but wind makes fire hotter and unpredictabler.
Unruly?
Unpredictabler. I like that word.
And when you're doing a fire show, it's not good. Thankfully, if the wind is too bad, I can just cut that part from my show, because I still do other stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I did my first show on Sunday, and I just cut the fire, because, no, I'm not doing that in that wind. And then I went backstage, and I had an hour between the end of my first show and the beginning of my second show.
Okay.
And so I go backstage, and the next thing I know is Adam with the Fondazzi tapping me on the leg, saying, "Salsa, wake up! Your show started 5 minutes ago."
Oh, God, no.
No!
Oh, God!
You dad napped.
I crashed, and yeah. So I'm trying to like shake the sleep out of my head. The audience is already out there waiting for the show to start 5 minutes ago. He sends Raiderly out to like stall for a couple minutes while I'm just grabbing my gear and just getting it onto the stage.
Once again, your wife had to stall for you.
Oh yeah, no, she But yeah, she was like, sorry, Casimir's on his way. He was just indisposed. And as she's saying indisposed, she's doing the pillow sign and gets a chuckle out of the audience. And but yeah, no,
they
I
think
was,
she's joking.
No, I walked out on stage and I came clean immediately. I was like, this is what happened. I'm sorry. We're going to get through this. But I'm still trying to wake up as I start my show. So I am just all over with the script.
Oh my God. This is like the performer's nightmare come to life.
So
were you in your underwear?
But it was.
Do you remember if you were in your underwear or not?
And like, I got through the show. It was choppy at the beginning as I was still trying to wake up.
Right.
But I got through my show. You know. Thankfully. Well, not thankfully, but conveniently. I don't know.
Sure.
Robin Hood Lewis had injured his wrist on Saturday.
Aww.
And he tried to do the first show of the day, and he was just like, I just can't hold a sword and have impact of sword on sword.
Right.
And
yeah, it just, no, because you feel that all the way through.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just goes to the bone. So he's just like, after the first, he was like, I can't do the rest of the show. So they canceled the rest of the show. So his show was after mine. So thankfully, I could go over without messing anybody else up. You know, so I get done with that show. You know, it's already 10 after when I should be ending that show because I started that show late. And now I have 20 minutes before my next show begins.
Oh, my God.
So I get backstage and just like, need to rest, need to rest. Okay, here we go. And I get back on stage to do the next show. And it was fucking windy. And so I skipped the fire, you know, second show, skipped the fire, third show. Get to my fourth show. And I'm doing my show, and you know how when you do a thing so many times, you kind of stop thinking about what you're doing? And I autopiloted my way into
right
the fire.
Right into the fire.
And sure. I was halfway into it before I went, oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Well, here we go. So I ate fire in that fucking wind. Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
I managed to, like, wedge myself up against the Vardo just enough to be able to block the wind enough for me to not have the flames moving horizontally.
Okay.
So I completely skipped the last stunt entirely and just did, like, the first few, and then we're like, and we're done now!
And that's enough danger and death defiance for one afternoon. Thank you.
But like the first stunt I do was the hand transfer, and I couldn't get that to go.
Jesus.
I was sitting there like trying over and over. I had to get a new torch and not shake it out so it was real juicy in order to have enough flame on my hand to put the other torch, to light the other torch. I'm going to fucking put this on my face. Here we go.
You're going to die.
But say a prayer for my eyebrows.
But like, I do the fire blast on the bed of nails, and I look over during the third or fourth show, I can't remember, and Adam is backstage holding the fire extinguisher. And I'm just like,
yes.
Thank you. Because I usually do that blast straight up, and the wind was such that I was doing this blast sideways.
Right.
Because it was just, that's the way it was going. And it was not pleasant.
No.
So yeah, my Sunday was rough.
Oh, God. No, that gassed, man.
Oh, it was so bad.
We were getting done with the day, and like everyone was kind of getting back in the trailer and like baby wiping their face down. And what was awful and delightful is that everyone's face came back, the baby wipes came back black.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And everyone's face was red from being abraded.
Yeah.
It wasn't that we hadn't put on sunscreen.
Nope.
It was just so abrasive.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, Where the cash boxes for the fencing booth is directly down what we call the dust tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
That dust comes from like Celtic Cottage area straight through. And I was like, I had a fan a lace fan up against my face trying to keep the dust out of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I failed because I drove home with something in here and like half the drive,
oh,
like, I had one eye closed and like opened it when I needed depth perception.
Like when you drive.
There was so much dust kicked up that it obscured.
Yeah, you can
vision.
Literally see.
We were sitting at the Arbor, which is one of the stages in the middle. We were sitting on that stage, and there is the Bad Manor, and then there's that food court right, you know, away.
Right.
So it's about, it's a good football length away, but we couldn't see it.
Yeah. It was from really, where we were. Really bad.
You can usually read the signs from where we were sitting, and it was just bad.
No, it was awful.
When we
there.
Were doing the Queen's Gambit that night, luckily near the end, it blew. Well, first off, the first time it blew my cheat sheet of my moves.
Oh no!
Into one of the fights, and I instinctually like went to grab for it. Went, oh wait, nope. As soon as I got off the bench, I was like, nope, this is a bad choice.
Nope.
Do not run into that fight.
Do not go into the middle of that
fight. They're gone, man.
I assume, because I know all of the people doing this are like actor combatants that have a lot of experience, and I assume they would have stopped. But like,
as long as they saw you,
yeah, they had one of them had their back to me, so.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, again, it was fine. Because then they moved to the other side of the stage, and so then they were able to go run and grab my cheat sheet so that it didn't blow away. Because otherwise, I will be completely honest, I have no idea what the next move is. Because it's all like, I have King's Bishop to Queen's Four, and I'm like,
I've had to make the calls for a human combat chess before, too. And like, no, that cheat sheet is everything. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, there's no way to remember all of that.
It was like, we both of us, the Jarl and I both were like, we are not memorizing those.
Mm-hmm.
We will come up with lines that we will say in between, but the rest of it is going to be improv because we are not memorizing these moves. There's just no way.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that I did with mine, because I had a clipboard, like I was a coach for mine.
Yep.
So I had like, I made it look like it was plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
nice.
You know, if we do this, then they do that.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. So
yeah.
That was my first page, and then underneath that was all of the moves.
Because all the calls,
there's no way. There is no way. Like, a chess match can be, like, what, 40, 50 moves?
Yeah.
No. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nope.
So.
Yeah, it was dusting.
Yeah, and then when I got home, I went to take that shower.
The best shower of your life.
I took that shower, and, like, number one, my tub was still gross this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I washed it again before Joe took a shower today. I was like, no, you don't need leftover fest. This is good. But, like, also, my face stung. I washed and I put toner on, and the toner was a bad idea.
Ooh.
The moisturizer was a good idea, but the toner? Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope, should have skipped that step.
I took my shower last night, scrubbed everything down, washed my face twice yesterday.
Oh.
Still woke up when I looked in the mirror this morning. I had like little, it looked like I had very thick eyeliner on underneath my eyelids.
Oh,
and
God.
I went to essentially scrape that away. And I was like, I cannot tell if this is dirt that just wept out of my eyes overnight or if this is leftover mascara or what.
Right.
Or both. Why
or
not both?
Both?
Yeah.
Sure.
But it was black, like just black sludge under my nails. And I was like, gross. I washed my face, like scrubbed my face twice last night.
Yeah.
So it's not like I didn't work at it.
No, it was just dusty as fuck.
Oh my God.
Yep. And the crowds to kick it up.
It was just insane amount of people. Yeah.
I again don't eat at all during the day. So after my last show, getting something to eat is the best part of my day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey.
And there was no way. There was no way. I walked around. I went to the crepe booth first, and on my way to the crepe booth, I was passing the other food booths, and I'm going, oh no.
Yep.
And I get there, and it's just like, there is no, I'm going to be here for the next 45 minutes. Nope. Yep.
I stood in line for 20 minutes for chicken and chips.
Yeah.
Chicken and chips.
Yeah. No, it was, so yeah, no, it was, the lines everywhere, everything, food booths, ATMs, the Mermaid Cove, the everything, lines.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar, not quite as bad as experience as you, because it was, so we do breakfast in the morning at like 10 o'clock.
Sure.
Where we go and get food. And that's usually, so I'm usually eating between 10:30, 11 o'clock. That's usually like my big meal of the morning, my lunchtime. And on Sunday, I got like a little snack at our first stop because I knew that we were going to go for breakfast pies. And I've heard amazing things about these breakfast pies.
Sure.
So I was like, cool, I'm going to get one then. I'm going to get a little snack now and I'll just share out these little cookie jam filled things with the group. Mm-hmm. We get to the breakfast pie booth. And His Majesty gets the last breakfast pie.
Chivalry's dead.
He offered it to me, and I was like, okay. No, it's fine. Okay. I know you were looking forward to this all. You know, that's fine. Right. I will get a Scotch egg.
Right.
So the Scotch egg was not good.
Oh, no.
Which was fine, because I went to go bite into it, and just fell. After, like, my third bite, it just fell off my fork. So I didn't eat most of that Scotch egg anyway.
Mm. Oh, honey.
And then there was just line after line after line at that point, because it was 11, just after 11. And so everyone was running to get in for lunch. I was like, I can't at this point. And then I don't eat usually until after I'm done with fighting. Mm-hmm. I got Queen's Gambit at 5. And then I will often go to the fencing booth.
What?
And fence people after that.
Yes.
So it means that I'm usually not eating food until about 6 o'clock, maybe a little after.
Sure.
And so, which is always a fun gamble of who's going to actually have food left in stock.
Right.
That I'm willing to eat.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Luckily, the chicken and waffle booth down in Cartwheel did not have a line. Yesterday.
Oh, damn.
And it was did good. When I walked by.
but that was about 6:30.
Yeah.
Right.
And what's also great about going down there about that time of day is that the elephants walk through A gate.
Yep.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. And so a couple of times now we've seen elephants go by like super up close. Mm-hmm. And it's just, honestly, it's just the coolest thing. I love it.
Yeah. No, we love watching it with the kids. And then, you know, because Raiderly, you know, has told the kids about when she was little, she rode the elephants in the parade and stuff like that. And so the kids always have questions about the elephants and you know, see how they actually do hold each other's tail when they're walking in a line. It's like, and just it is really cute. It's about so the cute. You know, just the kids love it so much. It is, yeah, having them process by us is pretty neat.
It's I had the chicken yesterday. It was really good.
Awesome.
So fencing booth or my. I saw your friends or our friends, they're our friends, and Claire and Robin at the end of the day at Closing Gate, probably about after 7 o'clock. And we're chatting around. And what it devolves into is that the guy who plays the king has been out at Fast for a very long time.
A very long time.
Many moons.
And then so it was figuring out who of the group, of the circle we were in, had been born prior to His Majesty starting at Fest.
Oh my God.
I think there were two people of a group of eight that had been born prior to the year he started. Oh my God. I was not one of them. Mm. Which,
no, you were not.
Made him uncomfortable. As we are married. But luckily, he started pretty young. So,
he did start very young.
He is, he's not 20 years older than me. He's less than that, I think. But it's, so, I don't know. It works. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, our age difference is fine. We're friends. It's fine. But it, like, that just kind of hit home in his brain of like, oh, God.
Oh, God, I am old.
It's okay.
Yep.
We're fine.
Yeah. No, I remember, like, because we grew up with him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I'm in between you and him. yep. as far as sages is, yep. is a thing. And so, yeah, like, there's a certain sibling
yeah.
vibe
mm-hmm.
that happens with kids that grow up mm-hmm. in a group together out yep. at Fest. So, like, people are like, oh, it's the king. I'm like, ah, it's just Johnny. Like, he's like, meh, it's just a brother. Yeah. Whatever.
It's just that guy.
It's just that guy.
Yep. It really...
I remember when he was 12. Meh.
Yeah.
yeah.
Really, I need to remember that there are people around and I can't give him shit about stuff.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
He's in character. Don't give him shit.
Let me tell you how weird it is to have my actual husband bow to me on the street.
Oh my God, yes.
Because my actual husband plays in a band out there.
Right.
And so we don't see each other very often, frankly, because we just have vastly different schedules. But every right. now and then we cross paths. And he, we have to make very subtle kissy smoochy faces at each other. but it's so weird. I was like, yes, this is the one. Yep, that's it. But also,
this is weird. But yes, that's what you're supposed to add. This is so weird, though. Why?
I love you. but shh, keep that quiet.
I won't tell anyone.
I love the idea that your husband is your mistress.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just like, you know, your oh. side piece.
Yep, exactly.
God, yeah. I'm calling him that now.
You're welcome, and I'm sorry.
It's fine. It'll make him giggle.
Your side piece and a five piece. God, okay.
I mean,
wow. I need to stop.
On a good day.
that's why I went with five, because the number's a little fluid, but Should we take a break?
We can do that.
Take All a break right. and then actually, like, interrogate our guest.
I mean, that what? Sounds a lot more ominous than it really is, but
Yeah, but
sure.
I really like the sound of it, so let's go with it.
Give it All a right. whirl. I'm an expert.
I know.
We're going to take a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I am an effective communicator.
Write that on your resume.
It's there. English, bitch, do you speak it? Sorry.
Don't put that on your resume.
Oh, shit. How the hell did I get the job I have then?
I cannot speak for everyone. But we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Rachel.
Yay, we did it. I have no idea where you're starting that cut either.
Neither do I.
All right, good luck. Have fun
no
with that,
idea.
Asshole.
Mm.
Yep. That's the fun part for me.
It's the only way we get you to edit anything.
Like, you're going to have to re-listen to all that, so.
It's enjoyable. You know what else is enjoyable? Our guest.
Yay!
Yay me.
So. We get to the interrogation, as Jenna so delicately yes. put it.
Delight.
What's the phrase? Who are you? What do you do? Justify your existence? Something along those lines. Yep. You started it.
I did, yes.
You did start the justify your existence, and I've stolen it now.
No, I usually demand of our guests to justify their existence, but I feel like...
I don't think you do get to demand that
yeah,
of our
exactly.
guests.
I feel like my...
You asked me to come here. Like...
I feel like this would end poorly if I asked that question now.
anyway, Rachel, tell us about yourself what you would like to tell us about yourself. How's that?
Goodness gracious.
How's that for a rephrasing?
Really open-ended question.
Yeah. Yep. Honestly, I could use a few more parameters.
All right, we've been talking about the Renaissance Festival. Yes. We've been talking about the fact that you're the queen. Is there anything you would like to say about being the queen of our grand village?
What does your day look like?
Oh, there you go.
All right. So, let's start. So, I am Queen Catherine Mm-hmm. Catherine is spelled with a K. Important. Often get asked that. And so I have been queen now. This is my second season doing this.
Sure.
I came back for our
officially,
post-COVID season.
Because you had stepped in a few times, right?
Yeah,
that. When you were kind of like
previous
stunt
queen had, she was in Spain for a weekend, like, darn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was, so that was fun, because I was already on the court, so I already had a fancy dress and everything, so it was easy enough for me to kind of just put on a slightly bigger crown.
Yeah. Right.
This hat has more points on it.
It's a little heavier.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and the crown has to go all the way around. It's a circle. And a tiara is just like the half circle bit. So at least that's how I distinguish like between like a princess versus a queen.
A queen.
Mm-hmm. I know that not everyone does that, and that's not really a thing. But that's how, in my mind, the difference.
We had to have a conversation with our daughter about the difference between crowns and circlets and tiaras and all the other words for crowns that exist out there.
So this is my second season. My day, goodness gracious. So we have a trailer that the court gets ready in because we need to be able to keep all of our stuff. Like, so there's a lot to a court dress. So I start my day. I get up at about 6:00. Since I stay out, I make my way to from one, basically the campground, which is on one side of festival, and our trailer, which is on the exact opposite side of festival.
Yes, it is.
So I get up at about 6:00 and I'm usually at the trailer by 6:30.
Sure.
And I'm the first one there.
Like, okay.
Almost always the first one there. If I'm not the first one there, it means I'm running late.
Okay.
So I get there, about 6:30, turn on the lights. I have a coffee thing. I get my coffee started and start trying to figure out my day.
Right.
And so it's getting dressed. There's makeup. There's hair. I have a lot of hair. It goes down past my waist. So I had to figure out how to get all of that up into a thing so that it doesn't become a mess of snarls.
Right.
Because being out there means lots of wind.
Wind and dust.
You know, what we've been talking about.
In case you missed that part. Yeah.
Hour. Usually it's hair first. Hair first and then getting on the underclothes. I often forget to put on my boots before I put my corset on, which is a problem.
Boots, then corset.
Boots, always then corset. Boots and corset.
Yep.
Yeah.
Please do not forget always boots before corset.
Boots and corsets and boots and corset and boots and corset and boots and corset.
Okay.
Yeah. But basically,
we'll workshop that.
Well, we'll figure that one out.
Yeah. So hair, makeup, clothing. And clothing is going to consist of, you know, boots and leggings. And I have started wearing a tank top under my corset. And then I put a shirt over it because I was getting some awful corset burn because I would just sweat into everything because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
And the shirt has to get kind of bunched up under the corset. It just was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The tank top is much more comfortable.
Right.
I still get a slight corset burn, but it's not nearly as bad. So boots, corset, hair, makeup, and
Because I'm going to go into clarifying questions for
this.
Yes,
please.
What is a corset burn for our guests or our listeners that do not know?
When you sweat and it's going to sound gross because it is kind of gross.
Yeah.
You're sitting in it, and so your skin is damp. And so you are, and then you've got pressure pushing on all of this fabric and everything into your skin that is becoming damper and so more sensitive. And so it's essentially bright red lines that follow the folds of my shirt.
Oh, God.
That go around my waist. And that's,
unpleasant.
It is unpleasant. It's, it is just one of those things. And it goes away fairly quickly. But one of the things you have to also remember at the end of the day when you're taking everything off is it itches. of course, because all of a sudden you can feel your skin, and you should not itch because your skin is still very sensitive.
Right.
And so if you itch it, you will actually hurt yourself. Whereas the corset burn,
rip your skin to shreds. The
lines are going to go away. They'll be fine.
Mm.
They'll be fine in just a little bit as soon as you aren't, as soon as you allow oxygen into the system, basically. But the, so it's leggings, corset, shirt, and then hoop skirt, bum roll, pocket, overskirt.
Hold up. You're allowed a pocket?
Yeah. So we have, so historically, the, at least I think one of the reasons that women's clothes nowadays often don't have pockets is because historical dress didn't have built-in pockets. You had this separate garment called a pocket.
Yes.
That you would tie around your waist, and that you would usually access through a gap in the seam of your dress, or if you had just an overskirt, you would pull aside the skirt to access this pocket. And these pockets are like panniers. They can be flipping huge. There's also ones like you look at like, the big Robert Le Francais gowns with ones that look like you've got hips that are the size of, you know, tiny boats coming out of your sides.
Hips as long as you are tall.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
So those actually were, a lot of times, those were pockets. You could like put entire tea sets in them. Like, so, but a lot of times those were pockets.
I need to pull out a random tea set at some point in my life.
Just present them to the
ta-da!
Put this in your pocket.
But the pocket that you're talking about, I'm going to dissect everything in this.
That's
because
fine.
A lot of our listeners don't work Renaissance festivals and
absolutely.
Don't have these understandings. So the pocket you're talking about is essentially like a very flat purse.
Yes. Think of it as like a pouch, but it's got it looks like a teardrop. It's just two pieces of fabric put together. And then there's the back side is all one, but the front side has a slit opening, basically. So it looks like a teardrop, but the front has a slit. And often they're made with some beautiful, historically, they were often beautifully embroidered, or just sometimes they're scrap fabric that, you know, you would kind of quilt together, piece together out of scraps, but often they were just beautifully embroidered pieces. And so you tie those around your waist.
All right.
And I know some of the court ladies wear two. I just wear one.
Sure.
But
I mean, you do have people to do those things for you.
Yes. I try to be very self-sufficient about how much stuff I carry of my own and not having people having to carry all of my things for me. But yes, historically that wouldn't
so
have been
do
the case.
So do you then have a split seam in the overdress?
No. So for mine, it's hoop skirt, underskirt, bum roll, which is a pillow that goes around my waist to make it's called a bum roll because it sits on your bum, but it's just a pillow that makes the dress go out farther.
Towards the back farther more.
Out towards the back, yep. So it makes it takes some of the weight of those heavy skirts too.
Nice.
So that you can have a fuller skirt, but it takes some of the weight off of your hips as well. The hoop skirt, underskirt, overskirt, the pocket goes in between the underskirt and the overskirt. And the overskirt is a split skirt. So the underskirt is like a regular skirt that goes all the way around, like almost. Then the split overskirt is, I can just pull that aside and have access to my pocket. But for the most part, the pocket stays hidden underneath that.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Some dresses, especially if you have a dress that doesn't have an underskirt overskirt situation, if you just have one big skirt, then you're going to need to have holes in your skirt somewhere to access it. Overskirt. And then my belt, which has two pouches on it, one pouch for like my stuff that is for me, like my money and hand sanitizer. Pass goes in the under pocket, actually, so I don't lose it because I'm pulling stuff out of my pouch. I lose my pass. And the other pouch is full of things that I give to children.
Nice.
So we give out gold coins to kids, and then a lot of times they're really sweet and they want to give me stuff too. Aww. So I get I get lots of little gems. I've got some like adorably crocheted little hearts.
Aww. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it's adorable. And so some of the things that I keep them around if I find someone super special or needing something that's not a coin or something like that, then I will pass along something else out of that's in my pouch of things to give.
Sure.
Right. Your public pouch.
Exactly.
Public-facing pouch.
The public-facing pouch. So I don't have to dig around in the one pouch to try and find the coins that have invariably dropped to the bottom somewhere.
Right.
I know where they are. And it's the smaller of the two. So, and then I have a strap for my mug so that I can at least have my own mug.
You can at least have water.
Well, like, His Majesty doesn't carry... He carries his one big belt pouch that he's got his stuff in it. It's huge, but...
Right.
But he doesn't carry a mug strap. He just has people do that for him.
Right.
And he's often needing to be like, I'm really thirsty. Where's my mug? And someone has wandered off with it.
Whoops.
Oh, no. He also has much less costume to hide things in.
Yes. Mm. Yes, he does. all right. So then, belt with stuff goes over the overskirt. And then it's the bodice, which has to get... So I have one bodice that laces up the back that I need help getting into.
Sure.
Because I'm not quite that flexible.
Sure.
The corset, to go back several steps, is...
We'll review everything at the end.
So my particular corset is not era-specific. So era-specific would actually be what's called stays. Corsets come in later. And so the Renaissance period stays were... they've wanted to flatten you in the front and essentially make you look like a triangle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What I wear is a Victorian era style where it's much more curvy to give you the hourglass shape. And it's got, it laces up the back and then it's got a front busk, which is a set of metal pieces that, it's kind of like a very industrial looking hook and eye concept.
Yep.
And
so, button.
Yeah, exactly. and so I have, skate laces that go all the way around, and then you're supposed to be able to kind of tighten them yourself, and then wrap it around your waist and tie it off to keep, so it's adjustable a little bit. It's not a, you have to stay one size.
Right.
And a good corset set of stays, anything that's supposed to be a structural piece isn't supposed to be like cutting off your breath, right? It's supposed to just give you, it's supposed to fit you comfortably, maybe, cinch you in a little bit, but it's more about giving you a shape, giving you a form.
Right.
And so, absolutely, I can't bend over very well.
Right.
I can bend over, which, thus the boots problem.
Right.
Because I've got boots that have buttons up the side that I have to leather lace thong up, but it's hard to bend. Sure.
Right.
Because I've got steel boning that keeps me in a particular shape.
You're in a cage.
Yeah. And so, and it's a cage that is very well fitted to my body at this point, but it does manipulate where things go and how I move. Mm-hmm. Sure. Can I run in my corset? I can. Is it super comfortable? No. Because you also, I definitely feel like you start breathing upward instead of outward.
Okay.
At least, and so, which is fine.
Right.
But it's a different thing. So, so my corset's a Victorian era more style. So it gives me plenty of room in my hips and my bust is just kind of held in place. It's not squishing anything.
Okay.
Which is what a pair of stays, or sometimes they're called a pair of bodies, for earlier bits of the eras would be called.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, sorry. Historical costuming 101.
No, this is fascinating.
I'm loving
this.
Keep going.
All right. So, but I have one bodice that laces up the back. And then that one's got sleeves that I can put on or off as the weather dictates.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got one that is more of a military style looking one that actually is sneaky and has hooks and eyes up the front.
Nice.
That I then have little cord and ball buttons that I put over that, so it kind of hides the closure underneath.
Sure.
That one I still need help getting into, though, because the sleeves are very more structured. And so
they're heavy and in the way.
It's heavy and I have to manipulate my body. Like, it fits once it's on, but it's a little bit tight to get both of my arms into it.
Get the shoulders and
Sure.
Cause it's all still very structured. So, And then, oh yeah, the crown.
Oh yeah, that thing.
The crown, which just sits on my head. And so, like, one of my, I usually do my hair in two braids. One braid goes around as kind of a placeholder for the crown to go around. And then the other one gets put up in a braid at the back of my head. And then I put a snood over that so that it's something that looks fancy. It's got lots of beading and stuff on it.
Nice.
It keeps my, that's an easy way of doing my hair.
Right.
And then jewelry and accessories as needed. I've got a parasol that I cart around because, especially like the Queen's Gambit that we were talking about earlier, is in the middle of a field and the sun beating down on you. And I would die.
Mid-August, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Same thing with the midday. We have this, we call it the Chubbucade, but basically different groups from around the festival kind of parade in to come and say... Mm. Present themselves to the king and queen.
Nice.
But it's also on another stage that doesn't have any shade. And so we get to sit and bake in the sun for half an hour. Ugh. Yeah.
How much of your day would you say is baking?
Honestly, those two parts are the baking portion of the day.
Okay.
So probably an hour and 15 minutes, possibly.
Okay, so let me recap real quick. You have just put on leggings, boots, tank top, shirt.
Corset.
Corset. Underskirt, or hoop skirt, underskirt, pocket overskirt.
Bum roll.
Bum roll.
Bum roll. Fuck, I knew I missed
There's one. A lot of things tighter in my waist.
Yeah. Bum roll. Overskirt, bodice, belt. And then you're taking this, like, I assume is 50 pounds of costume.
Not quite that bad,
over
but yeah,
to the sunniest spot at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival and just sitting there for an hour.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, and I assume this costume doesn't breathe very well.
Oh, no. I mean, the corset doesn't breathe well. Like, it's just because it's full of steel boning. Yeah. And it is cotton, but yeah. Mm-hmm. No, like, that's why, honestly, people ask, like, how do you stand dealing with that? Because it's like, aren't you hot? And that is a common question. And my response at this point is, if you're hot, I'm hot. Mm-hmm. But... Luckily, I am. My body's very good at regulating itself. Luckily, nice. I don't overheat very easily. Mm. When I do, real bad things happen, though.
Sure.
Like projectile vomiting, it's great.
Oh God, that is not an experience somebody wants to have at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Especially because if you do it in a corset, you risk breaking a rib.
Oh no!
So.
Unless you're watching my show, then it's a compliment.
Yes.
God damn it, Salsa. Ew.
Not all of us can do that.
No.
Yeah.
Beginning of your day.
So we start at about 6:30. Cass calls at 8.
You have an hour and a half of getting ready.
I think I've been on time to Cass call once.
Jesus.
This entire season.
God damn it.
Because then you also have to realize that while I'm the first one there, other people start arriving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to navigate through people. And like, we're sharing spaces. I have to go get my costumes at one end of the trailer. And then we're navigating hoop skirts. And hoop skirts are big. And so you're navigating hoop skirts in a trailer. And there's, you know, trying to, we do this, it's a dance, basically.
Mm-hmm. Weirdest court dance ever.
I know, right? it's usually, you know, and then we've got usually a line of people lacing each other up because
I just got this picture like in theater, like when you'd go to the cast parties and you had like a massage train.
Yep. But
it's lacing.
Yep.
Okay.
And, luckily for me, I'm able to get into my corset by myself, but not everyone can. They're just how theirs are designed or how they work it. They need help getting it tightened in the back as well. And so, like, there's lots of, I can't dress myself.
Right.
None of us can dress ourselves, basically. The men folk have it a little easier.
Yeah.
And just that, you know, usually it's pants or tights and a shirt and a doublet and boots, and they can move. So they're usually stuck tying us all up.
All right.
Yep. But it's Yeah, so, and then 8:30, I have to be out at the gate because we do an opening gate show, which is this year very queen-centric, because the theme is that the queen has lost her mirth, and so His Majesty has decided to put on this festival so that she can get her mirth back.
Cheer her up.
Yeah, basically what the context of that is supposed to be that London is just full of rules and pomp and circumstance, and I'm sick and tired of the whole thing, and I just want to go have some fun.
Nice.
And so I show up, you know, we promenade in, I've got a bunch of lines, there's some songs, and blah, 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 blah. So that is supposed to, cannon goes off at 9. We're usually actually pretty well on time.
Actually, yeah, you guys have been really well on time this year.
Yep. And so then we say hello to people until 10.
Okay.
By the front gate is kind of the opening thing. And then we go for breakfast and we kind of pick a different spot to go to get breakfast every day, whatever it is we're feeling. We do that. And we roam around until 11:30 when we have our break for the day. Because so His Majesty and I have guardsmen. And we're not allowed to go anywhere without a guardsman.
Sure.
Because people can be dumb.
Right.
And so we, you know, so we'll go back. They have on-site stage lunch that they do at noon every day.
Okay.
Which is a really beautiful thing. They sing Dona Nobis as kind of their grace. It's really, and they have like tables with, you know, linens and things like that. It's very pretty.
Nice.
And so, but we have to make sure that our guards can go back to that. So we go off stage so that we don't have to have a guard.
Right.
And then we, at least the K and I, cannot leave until our guards come back for us. Right. The rest of the court can kind of
go do their thing.
And do a thing. So, but that's a time for us to kind of reset, get some air conditioning in. If we forgot anything in the morning, I can get it. And then at 12:30, we go back out and we usually have wedding toasts at like 12:45.
Okay.
Where if people have gotten married that the day, they can also ask for a moment with the king and queen to get some. We just have a chit chat with them. They get terrible
pictures
advice.
And gossip.
Pictures, gossip, any good advice. We tease them a little bit, like, you know, how long have you been dating? And, you know, if it's been a long time. You know, it's like, oh, slow to commit, eh?
Right.
And it all works out well, usually.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I mean,
how long have you been together? 15 minutes? We just decided to get hitched.
Yeah. Not, I don't think that's ever happened yet, thank goodness.
Can I ask for dirt?
Sure.
Have you ever gotten a shotgun wedding?
Maybe. So
okay.
Last season there was a very young couple.
Oh.
And they were super sweet. And they were doing the whole thing. And like the families were there and clearly supportive, but they were very young. Like, I don't know if she was 18.
Okay.
but
all right.
Yeah, that was an awkward wedding for us to go to.
Oh, no.
But, you know, their families seemed supportive.
And supportive and
they were having
here to
a
make
day
sure that
and,
things
and,
are going.
Like, they were actually able to have, like, clearly this had been planned. You know.
Right.
They, so.
I mean, I assume you wouldn't get a lot of, like, last minute, like, things that would definitely, like, generally be, like, civil union type things where it's, like...
Yeah, not usually, because... Yeah,
it takes money and planning.
Yeah, it takes money and planning to do these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then we have the parade / tribucate at 1, where we walk off to one of the stages that's pretty close by.
Okay.
We sit there for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. Making talk, you know, getting presentations, reacting to that. And then we usually have some sort of, one of the acts comes and does something. We have to entertain that, or we introduce them usually. And then we wander off from there, usually to somewhere. Sometimes it's back to the arbor. Sometimes it's to wander around. We romp around a lot.
Yeah. I mean, y'all seem like champion walkers.
Yeah.
It's really like...
So we are champion walkers.
Well, because you want to be seen a lot, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that is also, especially His Majesty and I, get stopped a lot.
Oh, sure.
We get stopped about every 3 feet, it seems, with people who want pictures or to talk or... You know, mm-hmm. whatever. And that's fine. Like, that's what we do, which is why we have to, we budget in when we need to get to someplace in a time, we try and budget in the amount of time we need to do. And then if we are running late, we will, we call it portaling, where we will duck backstage and walk through the backstage area so that we can get to where we are scheduled to be in time.
Actually get somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So, after, the Tribucade, we don't have anything until 3:30 when we do children's nighting. We usually start congregating back at about 3:15, getting all that set up.
Mm-hmm.
Working, you know, finding children to pull in to get nighted.
Sure.
And then we stand there, His Majesty and I do the nighting. The guy who plays the Crown Prince does this beautiful oath where he gets the kids to promise to do things like defend others, especially those who can't defend themselves, and, you know, to love myself for trying.
Oh, my God.
And I think the line is, I will learn from my mistakes and I will love myself for trying. And if I should fail, I will try again. Is nice. Part of the
oh, my God. I'm getting a little misty right now.
It is the sweetest thing. Sweetest thing. It's awesome. And then we go through, and depending on how many kids there are, we could be at that for 45 minutes, I think, is like the record. That's a lot of children, because we go through them pretty quick.
Right.
And then after that, so we usually get done by that by 4.
Okay.
I have fight call at 4:30.
Sure.
For the Queen's Gambit at 5. Mm-hmm. And the guardsman who comes to that shift is the one who is also in the fight with me. So I don't have a lot of fights. So my fight call is mostly me making sure that I know what fights are being called that day and who's going where and what order and things like that. Because we've had some shifts around when people couldn't be there, they couldn't do their fight. We've had to swap in other things.
Right.
And we just need to know who...
What's happening?
Who wins this fight? So we can make sure that the right piece is getting called.
Right.
So mine is more of a logistics fight call. And then everyone else is kind of running through their fights to make sure that they remember them and they're all warmed up. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. So that's 5 o'clock. We do that, 5:30. I then usually bustle Wild back to the fencing booth.
Where
I will fight some one of the other cast members who has so graciously agreed to let me pound on their head basically for 5 minutes.
I've seen you do this for a bit now, and you have definitely improved in your swordsmanship.
So you missed me fighting Eli yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that came in
fighting.
Second.
I use air quotes on our own fighting because they were kindly, because they popped my first balloon like that.
Right.
Within like 5 seconds of us starting. I was like, oh, that was fast. And they're like, do you want it to go fast? And I was like, sure, why not? Let's see what happens. And even with Josh putting on a third balloon on my head.
Oh, my God.
I think they had me out in like, probably a minute flat.
Yeah. I'm surprised it took that long.
Not even that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that included the putting on the third balloon.
Sure.
But that's because, yesterday, Squire Nicholas, who grew up at the fencing booth, both his parents volunteered at the fencing booth.
Right.
Challenged me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our squire challenged me yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And I popped both his balloons.
Oh, yay.
So without him getting any of mine.
Oh. Good. Good. Because I love him. He is a wonderful human being.
Yep.
But he needs to be taken down a notch every once in a while. He's right in that specific age.
He needs to learn humility a little bit.
So the other weekend, His Majesty was out ill. And so I was in charge of our motley crew. Mm-hmm. And so the squire, I asked him in the morning, I was like, is there anything you want to do today? He's like, no, not really. I was like, okay, is there anything you don't want to do today? No, not really. And so then the guard that's next to me is like, oh, sounds like face painting is on the table then. I was like, why, yes, it is. So we go for breakfast, and there's a face painting booth not far from where we ended up. And I was like, all right, squire, which one of these do you want? And he was just, he's got a very expressive face, and so he's just frowning, grumping, and he's got the best grumpy face.
Yes.
And so I was like, would you like the dragon, or maybe you'd like the ladybug, or this lovely little flower? He's like, no, I want the pickle. And so I was like, are you sure?
Oh my God.
And so I give him every opportunity. I was like, are you sure that you don't want the ladybug or something else? He's like,
anything.
The pickle. But no, he was determined to have the pickle.
Oh my God.
And it was a magical pickle. So it had like electricity coming out of it, like these little orange and yellow jagged edges things coming out of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, I gave you every opportunity, and you now have to deal with the consequences of your actions, you dumb 13-year-old boy. And so we rounded around the corner. He's grumping his way around. And we stop at Fest Friends, where the Naughty Body Brigade likes to hang out.
Oh my God. Oh my God, yes.
Ah. It was like, Squire Nicholas, come here.
Oh,
would you like to show the Naughty Body Brigade what you have, the artwork that you've acquired this day? And they lost it. And he's like, yeah. And one of them was like, why did you get a green penis on your face? Or something to that effect.
Right.
And I was just like, and so I took a couple pictures of him and sent it off to His Majesty. I was like, well, I tried to, you know.
This is what I did to your squire while you were out.
And I also sent a picture to his mother.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And I was like,
I saw the picture his mother showed me.
Oh, it's like, I didn't get that
we
one.
Might not be having the best day. Or no, I think I said choices were made today.
Yep.
Nice. Absolutely.
That was fun. So that's fencing.
Fencing. So you
and
do
that
fencing.
Usually happens around usually done with that about 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go get dinner. Because I haven't eaten since breakfast.
Right.
Because I don't like eating before fight call. And because honestly, I'm not usually hungry until about 3:30 anyway.
Right.
Just because your cubic capacity is diminished.
Right.
And so, yeah, then I go get dinner. Mm-hmm. And by then it's 6:30 and I need to go out to the closing gate.
Sure.
To say goodbye to all of our guests. And then at 7 o'clock, the cannon blows and
You're still there.
We are still there. We are contracted until 7:30.
I just got to see the picture.
Yeah,
it's good. It me greatly.
It's good. Again, I gave him every opportunity to get the damn ladybug.
Have you thought through? Okay.
Are you sure you don't want the ladybug? So that's, and then I'm, yeah, so 7:30-ish, depending on how fast push happens and people leave. Then we go back and I undress.
Oh, God, and the undressing.
Yeah, it's a good puddle of skirts. And when you take off a corset, you can feel your organs descending back to their normal spheres. And
right.
It's called a bodicegasm or a corsetgasm, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's good.
It's a nice feeling.
I know several gentlemen who have had it similarly, usually with belts getting taken off and boots taken off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a similar feeling of all of a sudden everything is descending back to where it belongs.
Right.
And so, yeah, and that's my day. So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's way more than I do in a day. So and yeah, I worked all fucking weekend.
I was not
so
expecting that, honestly, when I asked my question. I figured this would be like a, oh, you know, I do this and this and this, and then holy fuck.
I did ask a lot of questions.
No,
on
and
the
that's
costume.
That's absolutely fine. It was all fascinating. But my
just,
God.
Because the thing
I
is,
I have my first show at 11.
Somebody
I'm really
is about
glad I don't
to
do
lose
that
a brother-in-law by her own hand.
There's this lovely wall
of weapons
yeah,
right, just right here. And she knows how to use them.
Oh, no, absolutely.
We've already yeah, discussed mm, this.
I know how to swallow half.
No. That's not going to help you in a fight.
No,
I'm just
no,
saying.
No, it's not.
But no, one of the reasons why I want to ask so many questions about mm-hmm, the costume, mm-hmm, because number one, it is fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
But number two, you just went through your entire day and you are wearing all of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You don't take anything off for the Queen's Gambit. You don't take anything off for fencing.
Nope.
You are.
I take the crown off for fencing because it doesn't fit under the helmet.
Yeah. Sure.
The face mask.
But like the rest of all of that that you are wearing. And by the time you're doing the Queen's Gambit and the
it's
fencing.
It's the end of the day, yeah.
It's the end of the day. So you've been doing that all day. Mm-hmm. Some of it directly in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wearing, again, 50 pounds of costuming.
Yeah.
The entire fucking time.
I'm actually
even
really curious how much it does weigh.
I don't know. It depends on the fabric. I'm
curious.
So I've got three costumes that I can kind of rotate through.
Mm-hmm.
One's a blue velveteen, like a cotton velveteen. That's mm-hmm, heavy. That's meant for cold weather days.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
The purple one is a wool poly blend, which is much lighter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't breathe necessarily, but it's a much lighter fabric.
Yeah.
But you also, like, there's a lot of trimming on everything, too.
Yeah.
So beads. Yeah. Hot fix is my friend. and then the gold one that I made myself last year is upholstery
which is
fabric.
Stunning.
Yeah, I love that one. But it's upholstery fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the court gowns are couches.
Yeah, no,
right.
Which is why I'm genuinely curious how much they do weigh, because they probably weigh upwards of 25, 30 pounds.
I was about to say,
pounds.
I'm going 20 mm-hmm, to 25 pounds
yeah,
for your
yeah,
average court costume.
Yeah. And I would,
for the ladies, for the men, again.
Because that's
tights and a doublet,
mean,
you're out.
Because
well, His Majesty's doublets are huge because he's got these padded
he has to be
shoulders and things like that. So his are,
but just
heavy,
the outer skirt right, alone has got to be close to 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
especially
possibly,
with all the beadwork and trim.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God!
Again, I think my purple one is the lightest, and it's probably so it's not that heavy overall, but. There's also, like, there's a lot of infrastructure that goes into it as well. Like,
sure.
So my mother makes all of my costumes except for the one. She does
right,
a gorgeous job. She's so good at what she does.
Yeah,
your
she
mom
is,
makes incredible things.
Yeah. And so she would not be denied this year. She made me two new gowns. I love them. God, they're just gorgeous. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But she likes to use this really thick interfacing inside of it so mm, that it helps keep some of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right, so it's got...
Which, especially with, like, velvets and velveteens,
mm-hmm,
like, that stuff will just
yeah,
peel and peel
wrinkle,
right away.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, my corset is got steel boning in it, which I snapped one of my bones this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's the only time I've had to undress in the middle of the day, because I felt oh, myself getting poked, and I was like, oh, that's probably not good. And I was like, nope, if I just stand up straight, I'm fine, so we'll figure it out. And then one of the guards that was with me was like, don't you have to go fight in like an hour? And I was like,
I
should go figure that out. So I'm I'm stripping backstage. I go back to Inner Six and I start stripping out of my costume, and I take the whole thing off to get to the corset.
To get to the corset, mm-hmm, right? All other 49
because everything else
pounds
is on top of
right,
it.
Yeah.
And we've already established how long it takes to get all of that
yeah,
back
no,
on.
In fact, the guard that was with me, he's been doing this for
yeah,
years and years and years.
Right.
And he's like, I am never going to complain about how much I have to put on for my reds again.
Right.
Because he just saw how many things I had to get out to even get to it. And then I had to get out of the corset because we realized the bone had snapped.
Right.
And I needed to get it out.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, and I mean, the guardsmen themselves, they do wear heavy costumes. They are
heavy
red
wool.
Blanket
yeah,
weight
yeah,
wool.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a 90-degree day, and you're walking around wrapped up in five blankets, basically.
Yeah, basically.
It's dumb.
It's dumb. But,
yeah. So, yeah.
Dear God.
So, how long... Okay, so you finish at about 7:30, but how long does it take you to get out of the costume? I assume it's less time.
Yeah, less time, and, like, I'm not trying to get pretty, so...
Right, that's just it. Like, you can just tear things off as, tearing can happen with a corset, but...
The sucky part is, like, especially if I'm wearing, like, my purple dress, I have to get someone to unlace me.
Right.
I always have people lace me from top down with a just a bow at the bottom. Right. So that if I do have to get out of it myself, I can for the most part.
Nice.
Because I can, because if you lace, weird things that you learn. So depending on the direction of your lacing, it will shift how the costume fits a little bit. So right. if you lace from the bottom up, it actually, it gives you a little bit more shoulder lift. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you lace from the top down, it pulls things in a little bit tighter at the shoulder, which is, there's not so much of a difference that you would normally tell, but you can, like, there's a fit difference, but I can't necessarily reach the back of my, the middle of my back easily to unlace. Right.
Between the shoulder blades, yeah.
Whereas if I'm doing it from my waist up, I can usually wench my way around to at least get enough of it, then I can pull the rest of it apart.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
So if I need to get out of it myself, I can.
Nice.
At least, like, eventually, like, wriggle my way through. But otherwise, it's just easier if we just, again, the same train that began in the morning, lacing up is also at the end unlacing everybody. So I'm usually done 8-ish is what I'm, 8:10, 8:15.
Sure.
Is when I'm walking out of the trailer to get myself back across site to go.
Opposite end.
To go back to the campground to
get some dinner.
Sit down. I don't even bother eating, actually. No. At the end of the day, mostly, I will snack, but I'm just
so
like,
that's like,
and I'm done. I need to sit.
13 to 14 hour a day.
Yeah, like 6:30 to 8:15-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mad respect.
Yeah, not it.
Yep, nope.
I'm putting on a costume at 8:45. We don't even get patrons back in our area until about 9:30. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And I knew what I was setting up for. Like, right. But it is a lot of work, and it's fun work. Like,
right.
But it's also like at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. I have to. That's probably the hardest part, honestly, is just being like having to still be approachable and kind. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, when all I want to do is like go home.
Right.
No one wants to listen to you.
Your story
you're trying to be charming. You're very drunk. You think you're funny right now, but all I want to do is
go lie down.
Go home. Yeah. Just go home.
Uh-huh.
Go.
Okay, so
that's not every day, but some days.
Right. So then I want to know, I think if I ask you your favorite, that's just going to create a brain block. But what is something that stands out to you right now as like just a very heartwarming or kind interaction that you have had? You can have a few of them.
Yeah. No, I mean...
Or a genre.
Right.
A lot of my work is with children, frankly. Right. And so one of my favorite interactions actually from yesterday was we were coming down the lane after breakfast and some folks were looking confused. And I often will just, if someone's like either looking at their map or kind of looking around, I'll say like, oh, you look befuddled. Is everything well?
Right.
Or, you know, if they're actively looking at the map, like, have you lost yourself?
Yes, and, I like that line.
Yes, have you lost yourself? Like, yes, where would you like to find yourself?
Nice.
Very nice.
And so, but it was this family with these two children who, she wanted a tiara and he wanted a turkey leg. And I was like, all right, well, I can tell you where these things are. But you know what? I think I'll just show you where. It's probably going to be the most convenient to go get a tiara and a turkey leg nearby. So you can do all of this now. So I escort them off and we're having a conversation about who they are and what they're excited about for the day and things like that.
Yeah.
And the second we get to the tiara booth, This little girl is just like, there is no queen, there is no outside world, there's just this wall.
There is only Tiara.
Because they have it set up well, and the sun was shining directly on them, and it's just the wall of shining. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes. And I was like, cool. And I point to, like, and if you just look over there, you can see the giant turkey leg. That's your booth. Have it. And yes. It was lovely. It was great. I got to do that, and then we went off for Children's Feast.
Right.
Because that was another thing I had to do yesterday. That was not on my regular rotation. Mm. But we had to go do Children's Feast.
Sometimes you have to do, like, special event things, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's
just
fun.
You know, squeeze that in there somewhere.
Yeah.
In your 14-hour day.
Free time, yes. Yeah.
So, yes, when we do the Children's Feast, it's usually scheduled over when we're supposed to have our break. So what we've decided, how we've done it, is that we will go to the manor where the feasts are done. Mm-hmm. And basically we say, we promise that we will not leave until the guards come back. The guard can drop us off. We're effectively
stuck there.
Yeah. You know, we're cast, like, yes, when the audience is there, they're in the feast hall. So it's a relatively confined environment.
And honestly, Jim and Laszlo will stab a bitch. Yeah, if they
I was just about to say, Jim and Laz can handle.
Oh yes, no, and things. So we can frankly sure. handle it.
Right.
The revelers are there, and what they've been doing is they send one of the guardsmen out of the Reds to come and hang out with us, basically.
Okay.
Okay.
But we promise we won't move until one of the guardsmen come back from lunch.
Right.
So, which like Eric was saying earlier, it's like, oh, I was wondering, because you guys never like take breaks, kind of on-site breaks like that very often, and we're like, yep, that's why we were not allowed to move.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, so at the end of the day, we're heading back for something, and these two children come racing up to me.
Oh.
And she's gotten a full dress. She's got the most sparkly, beautiful tiara. Oh. And the boy is in shirt and breeches. Like, he's gotten dressed. He's got an axe. And
yes.
They're just beaming. And they're like, look at us!
Oh my God!
And I remembered their names, and I was so excited with myself because I'm terrible with names. And I was like, oh my God, you too! Look what you did! And it was a delight.
Awesome.
Oh, God, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So that was fun. So yeah, that was interactions like that are some of my favorites.
Awesome.
I just have to say, Tiara and a Turkey Leg sounds like a rom-com right? between a socialite and like a farming
turkey
rube.
Farmer.
Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, Turkey Farmer. I like that. Yeah. Tiara and a Turkey Leg is the name of my memoirs.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's good. Well, we've been going for a while, so do you want any final thoughts or anything you want people to know or words of wisdom or...
All right, this is what I tell. So my line for when we do wedding toasts and my words of wisdom are...
I'm lifting my glass, as is appropriate.
Again, this is for newly married couples. Enjoy each other thoroughly and often.
Ooh. Yeah,
I like it.
Some lawn chairs.
Mm-hmm.
That was for James.
I just checked the draft.
We're going to take another break and go through our... Fast Five.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Oh my God. I guess I'm Jenna.
I'm still Rachel.
Woohoo!
Oh, good. We're here. Yay, yep. We did it.
And it is time for a Fest Five.
Ooh. Nice. I like that. That's classy. Good.
Today's Fest Five comes to us from... James?
Whoa.
I know,
seriously?
Right?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are real high tech over here.
We're super high tech. Don't tell anybody what this looks like. We're super high tech over here.
Yep.
There was a lot of flashy lights and like some smoke.
Oh,
and
yeah. No, we
we invested in the fog machine a couple months ago. So,
Laser show involved.
Absolutely.
Yep. Little tiny dancing penguin came out.
The actual drummer coming in to do that was the thing.
He's not like, cheap either.
No, but sometimes he's a little delayed. I'm kind of upset with him on that. Yeah, whatever.
Smoke breaks, man.
Yeah.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. James has opening thoughts. It says, "Hey, friends, I'm glad to take this opportunity to help stave off Jenna doing more work. I hope it helps."
Take that, Gray. I mean, thanks, James.
Question number one. Horse or fish?
Fish.
Oh, my God. See, here's the problem. Okay, so James is gone. And now I know how James thinks.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to think through what is the most convoluted possible context.
But James knows that you know how James knows.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So do I drink the goblet in front of me?
So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Right, exactly. Shit. Okay.
Just build up an immunity to James. You'll be fine.
I have been trying for years, Rachel. I'm going to say...
He just keeps mutating.
Centaur or mermaid?
Oh.
This is where I'm going with this. And I'm going to say mermaid. And it's... The context is, which would you rather hang out with for a day? Because I have questions for mermaids. I wanna have conversations about feminism with them. And what their takes are, and because here's the thing, like, mermaids is a construct. I've spent too much time with Reverend Matt. But mermaids as a concept is generally like the evils of female whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many
luring
ways we can
sailors
take,
to their doom. Yeah,
luring sailors to their doom type shit. But there's so many different ways we can take that and just flip it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to have that conversation with the mermaids. That's where I'm at.
All
right. I'm going mermaids. Or fish, I guess.
Fish, yes.
Fish.
I'm not a big fish person. I don't...
Yeah.
I
think we've had this conversation before, yeah.
I'm going to go horse.
Okay.
I would try horse meat. Right.
You try that?
I would try horse meat.
You tried that thing?
Yeah.
All right.
You said horse?
I said fish.
Oh, yep. You said fish. Okay, two fish and a horse.
I didn't have any complicated reasoning why.
Right.
I just went with...
You're doing it better than we are.
Yeah, you are. You absolutely are.
We're overthinking this shit. It's called a Fast Five and it takes forever.
I know, right?
I had noticed.
It's more of like a meandering five.
Overthinking it.
It's less alliterative, but more accurate.
What was the therapy concept you were talking about earlier?
Oh, DBT, dialectic behavioral therapy, radical acceptance.
Yeah, let's just hit with the radical. I'm going with radical acceptance. This is my reality, and I just have to choose one path forward. Oh.
Nice, I love it.
That's good.
Well done.
Question number two: above or below?
Above.
There's no way to determine context on this
one. I'm going
to
go above.
God damn it. I would rather do front-end development, which I'm going to say is above, as opposed to back-end, which would be below. So I'm going above.
I prefer to be on the top bunk.
No, not me. I think I'm going to fall out. I sleep funny.
I was the top bunk growing up. I did fall out once.
I don't remember. I think Steve was the top bunk.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell a story about my childhood.
Yes. Please do.
I have three brothers, and we all shared a room and in two bunk beds in one room. Mm-hmm. And one night, one of my brothers woke up, and my other brother in the top bunk was hanging out of the bunk, like his whole upper half was dangling off with lower half on the bed, and he was still asleep going, "Save me, Superman."
Oh my God.
And so my brother got out of bed and pushed him back onto the bed, and my brother went, "Thank you, Superman."
And did the savior brother go around the next day saying, "You must all call me Superman now"?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. No.
I really hope that happened.
It did. That was a true story.
No, I meant the part about
Yeah.
Yeah.
my oldest brother is a lot more. What's the word? Just low key.
All right.
He's just like. Yeah, that
happened. Nice.
You know.
All right, so did we all go above?
Yeah,
I think we all went above.
All right.
Question number three. Tool or material?
Oh, I think I have to go material.
I think I also have to go to material because I just... The sewing and the
I know
the crafting,
like, so here's the thing, like, I do construction building stuff, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I do I guess fabric arts, mm-hmm, is what they call it. I have been doing sewing costuming stuff since I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have the experience with tools that I have with sewing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to be like, you need to make a thing right now, pick one, I would go with material, because that's where I have more experience. I'd be able to make something faster and work well.
My thoughts with, I think, you know, your sewing machine, all your needles, everything. Those are tools of the trade, as it were.
Sure.
But I think, at the very least, I have had more experience basically making the material happen in whatever way. And then I've rarely, growing up or even lately, have had the right tool for the job. And so having to make it up as you go along.
Oh, yeah, we need to gossip about my sewing machine later. Oh. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, I kind of had the same thought process of, don't get me wrong, I love having various fun tools, because the right tool for the job is just gold.
Right.
And tools are toys for adults. But at the end of the day, you can muddle through, mm-hmm, with a basic tool, but if you're using the wrong material...
Oh, sure.
It's just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense.
Like, I like working in wood, and I could do what I do in a chunk of plastic, and it just wouldn't be the same.
Sure.
I got to go material.
So we all went material.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I need to pause for a second just to let everybody know that if James were here, we would still be on question number one. Yes. Continue, Salsa.
Question number four. Display or recycle?
Oh, shit. Oh, now I have conflict.
But display or recycle?
What? I'm going to go recycle, because I'm all about the reduce, reuse, recycle.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing, is that I'm thinking in my brain, you got a very fancy bottle. Like a really cool, like one of the green or amber colored bottles. What do you do with it? Do you recycle, keep it and display it, or do you recycle it?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I have so much... I've been trying to minimize.
Yeah.
Right.
But man, glass is so cool.
Okay, so I have a confession to make.
You have a really fancy green bottle at home that you don't know what to do with it?
No, I know what I'm doing with it. I may have... I purchased some garden in a bottle things, like for an herb garden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was a part of me that felt guilty that I was buying basically mason jars. So it's like mason jars with like a little neti pot that you can put on top to grow the herbs. And I was like, but I already have mason jars. But these jars are frosted glass. And I was like, but I don't have frosted glass mason jars. And now...
Yet.
Well, I mean, they arrived today, so now I do.
Now you do.
But now, if even my little herb garden experiment fails, I still have really cool frosted mason jars.
Sounds
so
like
I think
a win
I've
to
got
me.
To go with display. Oh, yeah. I have to go with display
do
on this
it.
One. Yeah.
I'm going to go with recycle. I'm not one for knickknacks, generally.
Mm. I really hope this question is not, in fact, about
it probably
a bottle
won't be.
Display. I love it.
I don't know. Like, you never know with James. Yeah. That's the
it's
problem.
True.
All of the stuff that I have that's stuff purely for the sake of being a thing as opposed to having a use has sentimental value or was a gift in some way, shape, or form,
right.
Something like that. Just having a thing that doesn't have any use other than to be looked at.
Hey, Salsa, nice wall of swords.
I use half of these.
Well, there you go.
It's all right. I'm looking at your dragon collection on the other corner.
Yeah, and all of those have been gifts.
Thank
half
you,
of them from your mother, yes. So, yeah, I'm going to go with recycle.
All right.
They are pretty.
So, one display and two recycles?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Seems to be. All right. Question number 5.
Ooh.
Big or little? Or.
You missed it a couple weeks ago. We got a fast 5 where all the questions were or.
O-A-R or O-R-E.
Oh.
And the context was different for each. Also, they flipped it, so sometimes it was O-R-E or
O-A-R.
O-A-R.
Like the band.
Oh my God, you said that!
I'm not the only one who's familiar
Salsa
with that band.
Said that, and James and I were like, what?
It is one of maybe 5 times I have referenced something that James didn't know what was talking
I know.
About.
That was the part that threw me, because I don't know anything. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Big or little?
Big or little. Go big or go home.
Yep, go big.
Little.
All right. 2 bigs and a little. Oh, I'm done.
All right, now we go to the context.
Oh, Lord.
Question number 1. Horse or fish? Ooh. Hold on.
Huh?
If you were a demi-human creature... Would you rather be a centaur or a merperson?
Well done, Jenna.
I was real close. Not 100%, but I'm going to go ahead and take the victory on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I have.
Victory lap. High five.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
No, I'm happy with my answer.
Me too.
I don't know which one I would rather be, honestly. I'm not as familiar with horses as a creature.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided that this coming weekend is the last weekend of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. I'm going to buy a horse ride.
Oh.
Because nice. I have never ridden on a horse.
Mm. Oh, well then yes.
Do it.
Ever. I've ridden on the ponies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
I saw a few, I want to say 3 weeks ago, a patron in a centaur costume.
Oh, yeah, with a cooler on the back.
And the body was a cooler. Which is genius.
That's brilliant. They shouldn't have made it past front gate, but I'm
nothing.
Really
they,
glad
yeah, they didn't
they
have anything
did.
In it, but...
I don't care. I'm really glad they made
that,
it
yeah,
past.
That is, yeah, that was like, that is an amazing... And then you just keep your, you know, your sandwiches in there.
That's...
Genius.
Glorious.
Yeah. I bet it was heavy as hell.
I bet it was.
But still, it was really cool.
I think I lean slightly towards mermaid. I assume if I'm a mermaid, I have gills, and so, like, my being under the water issues wouldn't be an issue.
We've talked before about water, deep water, creeping me out a little bit.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm not a super big fan either, I suppose. But, again, if I was a mermaid, it probably wouldn't matter. Yeah,
there is that.
Also, sailors to their doom. So, you know, that's a bonus.
I get to sing, like, yeah, singing versus being good at archery, I guess. And
medicine.
Yeah. And I'm horrible at archery. I've tried. I've failed. I should be good at it. I'm just not. It just hasn't connected yet.
Fair to middling.
Yeah.
Question number two. Above or below? As a setting for a text adventure, would you choose a sci-fi narrative on a spaceship or fantasy story in an underground labyrinth?
Oh my God, James. Okay. For a text narrative, so like we're talking like because now I'm picturing playing this on like an Apple TV.
Yeah, we're like in Zork territory.
Yeah, we are. And I think for that, I kind of want the underground.
I do too. I think subterranean.
Because you don't get as much of that nowadays. Now it's all about space and like. I want the nostalgic feel of that.
With space,
what I mean?
You want the visuals. You want that, like, celestial everything. With underground, it's cramped. It's dark. Text is... Yeah.
No, I'm going below.
I'm still going to go space. Mm-hmm. One of my fondest memories of when I would go visit my dad was that very classic space one? I don't even remember what it was called. I just remember him, like us kids, kind of circled around him as he was trying to type things into the text generator.
Okay.
About where to find things or look under thing or grab key or something like that. And that is just so that's a very nostalgic.
And it was a space related thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure. Someone will know what I'm talking about.
Probably Stefan, if he's not dead tired from his new baby.
Yeah.
That's
why these things get recorded.
Right, exactly.
All right, question number three, tool or material. Which is the safer bet as a gift for a hobbyist? A tool they may not have, or more of a material they already do?
Well, if it's linen, I will always take more linen.
I still say material is safer to do because tools, especially if you're getting to the point where you are really deep into your hobby, then you know which tools you want.
Right.
And you can be pretty particular about this is the wrong tool.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. I think we're all on the same page here.
Yeah.
If you give me a random gift of fabric, like if you're like, here, have a... In fact, this happened to me once. Somebody was like, here, have 12 yards of red velvet. it's a cheap polyester velveteen, but still, like, have 12 yards of this. Well, I still don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I know I'm going to do something with it. And that's way different than, here, have this, knockoff serger that, you know, does whatever. Like, that's not going to do
anything. I have five sewing machines in my home right now.
I actually minimized sewing machines when I moved into the apartment proper. I was like, no, I've got too many. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to three.
I only have my sewing machine.
Four.
I have my one sewing machine, which we will talk about after this. One of the basic brother sergers. So it's like you can use regular threads in it. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really mostly what I need for this stuff that I do. So.
Yeah. We've got the serger. We've got my sewing machine. We've got my wife's old sewing machine and we've got the new one that she just got last Christmas.
I have my regular, I have a regular old, Singer, and then I've got my Genome Serger, and then I then have a cast iron one Singer knockoff from the 50s
nice
that I got from my sister-in-law. I've got my husband's grandmother's like in table one that folds up and down. Yeah. I have got my husband has a leather working sewing machine, which is very impressive little bit of kit. And I've
it's
got my
nice.
old sewing machine. My old brother that still works. Oh, and then I have my mother's embroidery machine. But she got a new embroidery machine, so I think I just have an embroidery machine now.
Sometimes how that works, yeah.
When I moved from my old place into the apartment, I was like, I need to minimize, right? I had an in-table sewing machine, which I just donated to Goodwill. It was a 70s in-table, so it's not super exciting. But then the other one that I got rid of was from my brother-in-law. I was a little sad about that, but it was an 80s sewing machine with a manual shift for embroidery stitches.
Oh.
Like just, so it had 150 embroidery stitches, and like some of them were like cute little leaves and whatever else, right? One entire set was just different types of letters for like monogramming, whatever. But the reason why I got this from him was because it came with a booklet and all of the marketing from the 80s, which marketed it as the ladies' computer.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yes. Oh gosh. Fucking yes.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, I finally had to give that over, but I gave it to a good friend who appreciated it just as much as I did.
Fabulous.
Wow.
So.
Question number four. Display or recycle? When you complete a Lego project or similar building kit, would you be more likely to display the results or to repurpose the pieces to build something else?
Fuck. Oh, that really depends on what it is.
Yeah, no, if it's a kit specifically to build a thing, then I would display it. But if I just build a thing for fun...
Like, if it's Legos, honestly, you recycle that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it me as a kid or is it me now?
Oh, that's another good...
Because if I'm a kid, I'm just going to recycle, pull all back down and reuse.
Yep.
But if it's me now... I don't sit and just play with Legos unless the kids are around or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I will be buying a kit to build something. Like I bought my husband the blacksmith kit for Christmas last year.
Aww.
He loved it. He spent 3 days straight building that thing.
I'm glad we didn't get it for him.
I bought
it. Y'all should have a conversation on this here for Christmas. I'm just saying. Mm. Don't double down on that.
Yeah, but like I've got the AT-ST Walker that I just got done with a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a display piece because I play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that thing on my fucking podcasting chair, Salsa.
Yeah. No.
I'm like, what did Asher do with it? No. Salsa's like, no, that's
I'm playing. It shoots.
I know.
Laser shots.
I know.
Are you kidding? Are you telling me I am not going to play with that?
I know.
Hell no.
I know.
Question number five, big or little. When spending time in a room, do you tend to prefer more general, big lighting or purpose-focused task, small lighting?
Once again, it depends on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm reading in a corner, just give me a reading light and I'll be good. But, I mean, it's got to be a decent reading light. It can't just be, like, the little clippy things where you...
I'm going to say, in general, I prefer big lighting. I have a good friend who hates overhead lighting. Hates it.
Mm.
And I find their spaces to be dark often.
Sure.
And the thing is, though, like... Also, like, I'm also the person that wants a sun-drenched room. Like, if I could live and work in a conservatory that just had sunlight
If you ever want to just crash in the solarium, I have one.
I mean, as long
I've got them too now. It's great.
As long as you're not the kind of person to cast stones, I suppose that is okay.
So my husband is a mushroom and prefers the basement, yep. and I am the person who needs to be in the light.
It's like my relationship.
Yes. Change that.
Weird how that works. No, like our living room, like many living rooms of a certain era, does not have a light in it, which baffles me to no end.
Sure.
It's just like, oh, you're supposed to put floor lamps in there. And it's just like, why can't you just put a freaking light in the room? I hate that.
I do think every room should come with an overhead light. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like that should be a thing. And I know, like, even in bathrooms, it's like, no, you should have an overhead light.
Yeah. I don't understand that. But yeah, like you said, if I'm working on a craft or something like that, mm-hmm. I want that focused light. But yeah, in general, yeah, I want.
I'm gonna have the room to be illuminated.
So yep, you two were right. I was wrong.
It's not about being right or wrong.
It's not. It's about the adventure along the way.
About the friends we made along the way.
See earlier conversation about Claire.
Closing thoughts. My thoughts are on Romance Wars, A New Home, and video gaming. So these were the first clear ideas I could muster. I hope Gray will forgive me for giving Jenna this stay of execution.
Oh my god, if I have to do a Fast Five next week.
For episode 600.
For episode 600, I've thought about this. I don't... But that's just to reiterate that we do not currently have any Fast Fives.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody gets a Fast Five in right away, they might be the Fast Five for episode 600. I'm totally...
dun, dun, dun.
Totally not trying to get out of my duties.
No.
At all. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, like, episode 600 is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, you should.
We're going to do all sorts of crazy things, like what we normally do.
I was going to say, not talk?
Yeah. I mean, just like everything else we do, we'll make it up as we go.
35 minutes of this.
No minutes of this. No minutes. No minutes of that. No minutes of that.
That was an honor of change.
Everything done in iambic. Everything you say has to be in some sort of iambic pentameter or poetry. God. Maybe just haiku after haiku after haiku.
Ooh.
There will be just long, long pauses as everybody thinks and then just blurts out a poem and then silence.
Can we also do limericks?
I mean, you're allowed to make the rules up, too.
Oh, good. Excellent. Actually, so Stephen Bruce wrote a book called To Rain From Hell, which is basically the separation for heaven and hell and the creation of Earth, like pre-biblical whatevers. Mm-hmm. And there's one character that would... only talk in poetic structure. So sometimes it was rhyming couplets, sometimes it was limericks, sometimes it was things like that. And so I just want to do that next week.
As long as I can do free verse poetry.
Shit, nobody wants that. Never mind. Scratch it. Scratch it.
My wife's an English teacher. I learned about things like that.
Like, I got poems. I'll just recite poetry for 2 hours if that's what we want to do with the next episode.
Thank you to James for sending in the Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to our website, aonpodcast.com, and click on the Submit a Fast Five link. Like Jenna said, do that. All you got to do is fill out the form, and you're done.
And I don't want to do it.
And it's that easy.
And you can be on episode 600, maybe. I make no promises.
Whoever's first.
That's it.
Does anybody have a shout out?
I feel very James right now. Yes. Wait. Shit. Pause for 5 minutes.
I'm going to give my shout out to showers.
Oh, God, yes.
My God, did I need it. yesterday.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Ugh. So I'm going to give a shout out to my standard Sunday night coming home from Vest. I take my Tylenol PM. Mm. I hop in the shower. I take the most glorious shower I have ever had in my life. And then I had a have a finger full of scotch. And I, by the time that hits, my Tylenol PM has hit, and I go right to bed, and I don't wake up until the next morning.
I do the shower beer, and that's yeah.
I did not get to you know what, I'm gonna do my shout out to my bathtub. I have the Clawfoot, and it is glorious.
That you need a ladder
it
to get into.
Fucking huge. Step stool. Don't exaggerate, asshole. it's just one step, so it's not a ladder. I will die by this awkward that I need a step stool to climb up. Yeah.
This is the hill that Jenna's going to die on, that she needs a ladder to get on top of.
Exactly. Exactly. but no, this Clawfoot tub... I did not get to have my soak yesterday after Fest because I had a board meeting. I'll talk about that in a minute. but I didn't get to have the soak. And my body is feeling it. Like, normally I have that soak with my Epsom salts, my my mint Epsom salts. Because mint is really good for, like, muscle stuff. And my French lavender bubble bath.
So decadent.
And I have
so amazing.
I'll play music on my Google speaker, and I have my little what we decided were handies of wine. Just a little wine bottle or a canned cocktail. And I'll read and soak in my Clawfoot for way longer than I probably should, but it's glorious. So my shout out goes to my Clawfoot because I missed you yesterday. It was sad.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do have something to plug.
Say what?
I know. I've had a few weeks of not having anything to plug, but bishes, we back. All right, so... I can't talk about that one yet. Shit. but I can talk about the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Never heard of it.
Piss the fuck off, asshole. For those who don't know, and many people do because we've talked about it in the past, but the Twin Cities Horror Festival is a horror festival that happens in the Twin Cities area. And creative naming. But it's coming up. And this year, I am actually on the board of directors for the Twin Cities Horror Festival. So you're going to be hearing way more about this as we get into this. But season 11 is upon us. We start this Thursday, October 20th. And run for 10 days, I believe. So, and we have so many good people. I'm just going to run through the list of producers that we have. BC Theatricals, the Vincent Havas Experience, the Cold Hearts, the Shrieking Harpies, Phantom Course Theater, Dangerous Productions, which is a longtime favorite of the festival, and Fringe, actually. Monster Science Productions. So we will have the Reverend Matt there. Denzel Bellin Presents. And he's done a lot of things with Fearless even. And is a fantastic person. Third Floor Studio. Special When Lit and the Winding Sheet Outfit are doing a thing together. And those two have done horror separately many times in the past. They do incredible work. Winding Sheet Outfit especially is well known for their horror at the Fringe Festival. And have done several things at the Twin Cities Horror Festival as well. And then The Haunted Basement, who was known for the Soap Factory haunted basement.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They will be doing a production with the Twin Cities Horror Festival this year. Tickets are online now. We have already sold out half of our skeleton keys, which are like the day passes, or the season passes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have a limited amount. So if you wanted to see a bunch of productions, basically if you're going to see five shows,
mm-hmm.
you've made your money right there.
Gotcha.
That is definitely a thing. I recommend going and getting those skeleton keys quick before they are gone.
What are the dates of the festival again?
October 20th through the 30th.
Okay.
So, and you will see me. It's at the Crane Theater. We do have masking requirements. Be vaccinated, be masked. And I will sell you some merch. You're welcome. T-shirts are awesome. So, yeah, that's coming up, and I will definitely tell you more about various things as that happens, but I'm super excited for this season. We've got some really great people.
Cool.
And some awesome shows that I've already heard about.
Nice.
So.
Casimir the Hungry will be at a gathering of rogues and ruffians in Baraboo, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. The first weekend of October. Second weekend, I guess, depending on how you...
It's second weekend.
Yeah,
because the first weekend. Yeah, okay. The first weekend is this coming weekend.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. So the first... Okay.
You're missing my birthday party, asshole.
Well, okay, I've made peace with that. The 8th and 9th of October in Baraboo, Wisconsin, I will be performing at the Hippodrome. You should go check it out, because that's nice. A fun little festival. That's right.
I don't have any shows to plug.
Cool.
You can plug whatever the fuck you want. Cool. Honestly.
I'm going to plug my work. I work for a nonprofit called Homeline.
Yes.
We help tenants kind of navigate what their legal rights are in Minnesota. Minnesota only. I can't go beyond that. It's too complicated.
So sorry, Sean Petre in Canada. You cannot call the Homeline.
Nope. Troy to Troy is also out of luck.
He is. But I'll still take his honey. He's probably out of honey at this point. God damn it.
I'll try to throw a link to the website in the show notes. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's homelinemn.org.
And I super appreciate the work that you do. And frankly, the existence
mm-hmm.
of this.
Indeed.
So.
Any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who has listened to this podcast. Thank you to James for sending in the Fast Five. A very, very special guest to... very special thanks to... words!
Very special
words
guest no to good. Our things.
A very special thanks to our guest, Rachel, for being here. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.